Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
Are you ready for your next winter adventure? Whether it's a stylish all-wheel drive SUV to get the family where they need to go, or an innovative EV to make the switch to electric, ChevyDriveChicago.com has you covered. With Equinox, Traverse, Silverado, Trax, and Trailblazer, you're sure to find the perfect Chevy to match your needs and lifestyle. But finding the right car is only part of the story. Winter weather is here, and your vehicle needs to be ready for anything. From oil changes and tire rotations to unexpected repairs, your local Chevy dealer is here to help. Their team of experts knows your vehicle, and they will make sure your car is safe, reliable, and ready to handle whatever the season brings. So why wait? Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today to find your local dealer, shop the latest vehicles, and schedule your service appointment. ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Time Will Reveal by DeBarge, one of the all-time great falsetto slow jams. Time will reveal today whether the Grizzlies make a trade.
All right. We'll get to trade deadline stuff here in a moment. Last night, Grizzlies took care of the Raptors. What'd you think?
I mean, they really got humming in the second half. They had like an 87-point second half. I mean, they were playing Toronto, which is not good. Which is not a good team. And they were missing, I think, several of their key players already on a team that is not good. And the Grizzlies like down 6 at the half, something like that. And so, it wasn't like you got to put those things in context, I guess. But they really got humming in the second half. And to me, it was something close to sort of an ideal version of what you would want the team to look like. Obviously, Desmond Bane was not involved. But, you've got Ja Morant more consistently engaged in the offense than he was for portions of this season. At the same time, Jaren Jackson's still getting lots of touches and the same kind of ISO scoring menace he's been. And then around that, Zach Edey's aggressive, which has not always been the case. He was dunking balls. A really highly concentrated dose of Brandon Clark, which you like to see. He's not going to play heavy minutes, but you want him to to pop when he's out there. And then, be still my heart, Vince Williams comes back. And unlike earlier in the season when he returned from injury, he looked like Vince Williams. He looked every bit like the player last season. It's the thing where it's like, oh, I have 4 points on 2 of 5 shooting. It's not about that with him. It's about he is involved in everything, everywhere, all the time. Everything, everywhere, all at once. That is how he plays. And you look up and it's like they're plus 18 in like the 13 minutes he's out there and he's just doing stuff all over the floor. I think he could be enormously important for the Grizzlies.
4 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals in 13 minutes.
Yeah.
He was, yes, he looked like himself. And by the way, also be still, other hearts, Gigi with 17 off the bench as well. Like everywhere you looked, good stuff was happening. Except maybe Luke Kennard shooting. But everywhere but you looked,
Brevin,
good stuff.
Brevin Knight made a good point on the broadcast about that. He said in past seasons, if Luke Kennard's not hitting shots, I'm paraphrasing, I'm being a little bit more blunt maybe than Brevin was, but this is what he was saying.
Right.
He said in past seasons, if Luke Kennard wasn't hitting shots, he wouldn't be helping you. That is not the case this season because of the more well-rounded game he's playing, because of the ball handling, the passing, he's getting in for rebounds. He's playing more of a total game. So like a 1-for-6 or 1-for-5, whatever, at shooting night for Luke Kennard last year or the year before would have been like, what's the point? That's not really the case anymore.
And then as you said, like, well, first of all, Ja and Jaren are working together seamlessly, both terrific, obviously, both more than 25 points. It's only the fourth time this year that has happened, and now it has happened on consecutive nights. But then also the Ja-Zach Edey thing seems to be bringing out the best in both of them, which is something you've been looking for.
Yeah, to me, this has been the key. And I think we talked about this on the show sometime in the last week or so where – you know, people could point out, like, you know, why do you want to run more pick and roll when your points per possession on pick and roll is lower than your points per possession in this other portion of the offense? And my response to that was, if it helps engage the players who are involved in that action, namely Ja Morant and Zach Edey, if it helps engage them more in the flow of the team, that will pay off benefits across the board. I think it's bigger than just, you know, the spreadsheet stuff. It's also the less tangible getting your important players in the right mind frame and getting them fully engaged in the game. And I think you see that happening. I thought it was important for that to come back into the mix. I wasn't super critical of it because I always believed it was going to come back into the mix. But I do think that what happened with Morant, I guess last week, with the Knicks game and the sort of the aftermath of that, I think that accelerated like the urgency to get that stuff going more.
So Vince comes back, looks like himself. Marcus Smart comes back and looks a little rusty. 0-of-6, 0-of-3. That's missing shots.
Yeah.
And obviously the biggest name that we hear connected with the Grizzlies, whether it's speculation, rumor, whatever. I really haven't seen much solid. Sort of you hear reports, a name being talked about is Marcus Smart. What'd you make of him last night, and what do you make of him now that the trade deadline is bearing down upon us?
He looked pretty rough last night. Again, it's one game back from an injury, and so that can change over time. I don't think, I wouldn't put too much into last night, but you do watch that game and you think, yeah, you want his veteran presence for the playoffs, I guess, but like, are you really going to play him over Vince Williams or Jalen Wells right now? It's kind of hard to do, but you kind of need to play him. And like, it's kind of assuming he makes it past the deadline, it's kind of an interesting call to juggle all those guys, thinking short term and long term. As far as the trade stuff, I noted I did a little trade thing to kick off the day, which I'll update if need be. And one of the things I noted there, like the late night podcast that the ESPN did, Brian Windhorst, after they talked about the trades that had happened and they pivoted to what might still happen, the very first thing he said was keep an eye on Marcus Smart. And so there's a lot of feeling that Marcus Smart like is in play or could be in play. I have grown more skeptical today that something will happen because I think the Lonzo Ball thing was the thing. I feel like that's a trade that very well might have happened yesterday if the Bulls had not reached an extension agreement on Ball. It sort of sounds like they were operating on two fronts. They were exploring potential trades, I think definitely with the Grizzlies and maybe some other teams as well. At the same time, they were negotiating an extension, and it sort of sounds like if they didn't get an extension they wanted, they would have made a trade, but they got an extension they wanted. I think that deal was there to be done, and now that that's off the table, I'm not quite sure what the deal would be today.
Yeah, in your escape hatch trades, you had – did you mention Bruce Brown too?
Like, yes.
He was another
one
who's been
–
and he's got moved too. So it's hard to know exactly.
The one out there that would make sense in this regard – but I don't know if the Grizzlies would want to do it. There's been no reporting, no anything. This is just me freelancing. But Malcolm Brogdon has, like Bruce Brown and like Lonzo Ball, has an expiring contract about the same size as Marcus Smart. with the Washington Wizards, a team that is rebuilding, and they've been making all kinds of trades to get draft picks together. Brogdon's had lots of injury problems, like Lonzo Ball and like Marcus Smart, but is playing. He played last night. If the Grizzlies offered Marcus Smart in the 2025 first for Malcolm Brogdon and his expiring contract, I suspect the Wizards would do that. I just don't know if the Grizzlies would, right? It's a real question of how much they value that pick and the chance of Marcus Smart will help them in the playoffs versus what they value of getting off the contract. And I'm not sure where they fall on the scales of that.
Well, it's funny because we talk a lot about, you know, what Marcus Smart might mean, theoretically could mean in the playoffs.
Right.
We haven't talked a lot about the significance of getting off his money.
Right.
What, in terms of the Grizzlies' future, how important do you think it is to get off that contract?
I don't feel like it's that important, honestly. There's one thing out there. I've written the thing you've been trying to get me to talk about all season on Jaren Jackson's next contract. I have written that piece. I filed it. It is in the system at the Daily Memphian. We're holding it.
I've seen it. I haven't read it, but I see
it. So I think we're holding that for Monday because there's just too much going on this week, right? Nothing's going to happen this week anyway. Nothing's going to happen for a long time that matters with that. But right now, really, there's too much going on. So I think we're going to run that Monday. But one of the things that people throw out there is the idea of, like, you know, if you clear cap space, you can do a renegotiate and extend with Jaren. And I am skeptical of that because I think the amount of cap space they would have to clear to offer a contract worth him taking, given all the parameters, I think is hard to do. And if he makes all NBA, none of that matters anyway. And so I don't think just subtracting, and if you look at the numbers, and I've looked at my spreadsheet on this, if you just subtract Marcus Smart's contract this summer, I don't think you have enough cap space to do a Jaren renegotiate extend. You'd have to, like, move off Conchar, do other. I'm just skeptical of that. And in the absence of disappearing Marcus Smart's contract allowing you to do that deal, I don't think it's that big of a deal. The thing you would point to is, like, you're going to, you know, doing a deal with Santi, who's as a restricted free agent.
Right. That's what I was going to ask you.
But you're talking about a one-year overlap when Jaren's already on this small contract. And I don't think the moving off the Marcus Smart money is that important. I liked the Lonzo Ball thing because I think that would have moved off the money. But it also would have given the Grizzlies a player I think had a good chance to help them this season that they may have entertained re-signing in the summer on a smaller deal. And so to me, like a Malcolm Brogdon idea doesn't do those things. And so in the absence of a move that would clear the money but also had some secondary potential benefits or value, I don't know if they just do a strict, you know, ditch the money move.
The other piece, Jake LaRavia, seems to be the odd man out a little bit. Like, it's getting awfully crowded.
Yeah.
He could be moved just for a second or something. What might that
be? Yeah,
look like?
There's been no rumors to that effect. Like, there's no chatter anywhere about that. But if you just follow the logic, you know, John Conchar, who's under contract for two more years, is the 15th man on this team right now. And Jake LaRavia is, I don't know, the 13th or 14th man, right? I mean, you've seen as Gigi Jackson's come back. Mark, they played an 11-man rotation last night without Desmond Bane. And so the three guys who were out of that rotation were Conchar, Huff, and LaRavia. Of those three, I think Conchar and LaRavia make more sense to be guys you would try to move. Conchar to get off money. LaRavia just to try to recoup something if you don't think you're bringing him back. So a small deal with one of those guys wouldn't be at all surprising, but there's really been nothing out there about that.
All right, let's move on to the NBA generally. What did you make of the Jimmy Butler deal to the Warriors?
I'm glad the Butler saga is over, is mostly what I'm – I mean, it was the way that he and his agent, like, conducted that semi-publicly was such an enormous mess. I mean, you had the situation of, like, you know, literally a report comes out, I think on Monday this week, that Jimmy Butler has let it be known he will not sign an extension with Golden State. Which, guess what? He did. He just signed an extension with Golden State. And then the next day, another report comes out. Jimmy Butler has softened his stance, like, just put us out of our misery already. Butler is older, but, like, I think a lot of his decrease in production this season has been just him, like, not caring as much. And right. I think if you get into the playoffs and Butler is healthy, he could still be awesome. And that's one of the reasons, like, you know, it was worth the Grizzlies thinking about. With the Warriors, there's some fit issues there. There's some on-court and personality-wise. You got some volatile personalities with Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green on the same team. But, like, Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry are two of the best playoff performers of their generation, and now they're on the same team. So I don't dismiss that. But they're really paying for it. Like, you look at that extension, he declines the $52 million team option to sign a two-year $121 million. That's reported. Maybe there's some agent fuzziness around that. Maybe it's slightly lower, but it's big. You look at that kind of extension he signed, it's clear he was always from the jump trying to maneuver himself to a situation where a massive extension was waiting for him when he got there. He thought that was going to be in Phoenix. The Phoenix thing couldn't happen. He got it in Golden State. He was never going to get that in Memphis.
Yeah, that would have taken, yes. That two-year deal, Memphis would not have done that, and there you go. So you can't really sit here and lament it. It was never really an option, as you've sort of said all along. I wonder, in terms of the payment, they kept Kuminga, they kept Pajemski. They had to give up their first this year, basically. It appears it'll convey this year.
Right.
So really the biggest thing they gave up, and then Andrew Wiggins.
It's Wiggins, kind of a swap, the first, and some,
right,
salary match, yeah.
Yeah.
So the Wiggins thing, I had written, I think talked about that on the show before I wrote about it, but the scenario I had looked at, decided this is something I'd like to see happen for the Grizzlies, was for Butler to go to Golden State, for that to shake Andrew Wiggins loose, who otherwise I think would not have been traded, and for the Grizzlies to be able to worm their way in and get Wiggins out of that. Well, half of that happened. Butler did go to Golden State. That did shake Andrew Wiggins loose. But it sounds like Miami wants to keep Wiggins. It's not clear to me the Grizzlies would want to deal for him. That's strictly like my suggestion. It's not clear, right, to me the Grizzlies have interest. If I were the Grizzlies, I would call Miami and say, we'll give you Marcus Smart and a first-round pick for Wiggins. I don't know whether the Grizzlies have or would make such an offer, and I don't know if they did, if Miami would take it. It sounds like Miami likes Wiggins, and he's probably going to stay put there.
It is sort of interesting. You mentioned the on-court fit. Like, Wiggins is a better three-point shooter than Jimmy Butler, and the Warriors don't have enough three-point shooting outside of Steph and, I guess, Buddy Hield. Like, so in that way, the on-court fit, you're right, is a little awkward. Okay. But I think the Warriors are now scarier, and I think, sure, the Lakers, with the addition of Mark Williams, Jeffrey is freshly enraged that Dallas didn't
let them with Dalton Connect and the 2031 right, first to deal.
That,
yes,
that enabled 100%. Them to go out and get Mark Williams, who we just saw put up 38-9 on the Grizzlies.
Right. That is not. If you only watch Grizzlies games, he does not do that every night. It's sort of like put that into like the Jalen Green file. He doesn't do this every night. But
there was actually a clip going around from a Hornets game this week where the studio guy was just the studio analyst was just absolutely ripping him.
Yeah. So there's two things with Mark Williams to put a damper on it first before coming back around to lament it. He can't stay healthy. He's missed many more right, games than he's played as an NBA player. And defensively, he's big, but they have not performed well defensively with him on the floor. The Lakers already are a team that you look at that team and like, they couldn't defend before they traded Anthony Davis, and now, you know, I don't know, man. And so defensively, it could be rough. But what we also know is that big men who can catch lobs and dunk thrive playing with Luka Doncic. And right, Mark Williams is a big man who can dive. And I mean, you know, think of the old, like, you know, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan dynamic. Or think of what you saw in the playoffs with Luka just throwing lobs all over the place to Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively. That's where they're trying to get going. And if they get that going with, you know, LeBron James and Austin Reeves as secondary creators. And how funny is that? LeBron James is a secondary creator. Like, uh-huh, that could be some pretty scary offense.
You would be more scared of the Lakers than the Warriors in the playoffs?
I think so. I think so, yeah. I'm more, you know, you could debate that because I think the Warriors are going to be better defensively than the Lakers, that's for sure. And, like, they got Steph Curry, who's also pretty scary in the playoffs. But I think Luka, we just saw it. Luka just went to the NBA Finals, controlling everything. Luka is one of the few players you can put the ball in their hands for 44 minutes of a playoff game, and he can control every possession. Like, him and Jokic, like, those are the two guys who are like that in the NBA right now. LeBron used to be like that. Now LeBron can do that in spots, and you got Luka doing it. I fear Luka in the playoffs if he's healthy, period.
Sort of a curious deal, the Raptors, they played Bruce Brown, Kelly Olynyk, and then packed them up and shipped right, them off with a first and a second for Brandon Ingram. Just a year ago, the Raptors traded Pascal Siakam. They were going to rebuild and got firsts for him. Now they took one of those firsts to go get an potentially unrestricted free agent in Brandon Ingram. I presume they think they can re-sign him. What did you make of that?
You know, Masai Ujiri led the Raptors to a title, and since then it's just been really uninspiring stuff. Like, if you're a Raptors fan, Scotty Barnes is a good player. I don't know if he's a number one on a good team. He might be more of a number two or even number three. And then, like, there's some okay players around it, but you trade for Brandon Ingram, you give up a first-round pick, presumably you're going to extend him. If you don't do it this summer, if you can't do it now, you do it this summer. Presumably they believe that that's going to happen. I don't think Brandon Ingram's really a winning player as a top two or three guy on a team. Toronto feels like they're becoming like almost the lesser version of Sacramento, like the lesser Eastern Conference version of Sacramento. Like, that even is good, you know, where you're just trying to max out to be a play-in team. And maybe not even that. So I'm not particularly inspired by what Toronto's up to.
Scotty Barnes, RJ Barrett, Brandon Ingram, Grady Dick, you know, like, I don't know. They got Jakob Poeltl still. Okay. Speaking of the Kings, though, old friend Jonas ends up there. I have a hard time seeing Jonas and Sabonis, although it rhymes, playing together on the Kings. What do you make of the Kings now?
Yeah, no, I think Jonas is going to go there and be the backup center. They may have some guy just wrecking stuff on the boards for 48 minutes because Sabonis certainly does that.
Right.
I mean, that team is not bad. It may have been better for them to get bad. I don't think they had the stomach for that given their history. But, like, that's a really good offensive team still. Malik Monk has quietly gotten really good. LaVine's having a great season. And you got DeRozan and Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis. I think that team is going to be really good on offense and pretty bad on defense. That's going to average out to sort of a play-in level team.
So what beyond what the Grizzlies might or might not do, I guess Cam Johnson. What else is interesting?
I think somewhat like the Jimmy Butler, and maybe even more so, I think the Grizzlies Cam Johnson stuff has probably been a little overplayed. I've written and talked about that a bunch, about some of the complications there in terms of what you would have to give up. And I think more so, I think underrated in terms of the fit question. As I've noted, the way the Grizzlies are constructed, they want their so-called small forward to guard guards. That's what Dylan Brooks did. That's what Jalen Wells does. That's what Vince Williams does. That's what Marcus Smart was acquired to do. And Cam Johnson cannot do that. So you're going to end up having to play him at the four in a small ball lineup, like him at the four, Jaren at the five. That would be awesome offensively, but does that really work defensively either? I think there's real issues ahead how he fits defensively and what you would have to give up to get him. We talk about like the new Jaren deal, and like I don't care about that in terms of Marcus Smart next season, but when you go out 2-3 years, I think I'm skeptical the Grizzlies are going to take on a player that's got a $20-plus million contract 3 years from now. So I'd be surprised if you saw a Cam Johnson deal with Memphis.
But he could move, right? I mean, he could go to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, but he could also not move. Like he's in that situation where he's an obvious guy to trade, but it would be very easy for Brooklyn to say, yeah, that's okay. He's still in his 20s. He's under contract for 3 more years. You can talk yourself into Cam Johnson will be on the next good Brooklyn team.
League-wide, is there anything else of particular interest?
This is what I was saying earlier about like the pod the Windhorst did, where when he pivoted to like what's next, the two things he talked about were keep an eye on Marcus Smart, and then he also said keep an eye on Caris LeVert. It's interesting. He talked about Cleveland, and he said, you know, keep an eye on Caris LeVert. Caris LeVert is the combo guard off the bench for the Cavs on an expiring contract. He said keep an eye on Caris LeVert, and he said Cleveland wants more defense on the wing, and they're willing to take back years. Well, you could fit those puzzle pieces together and see a Marcus Smart for Caris LeVert trade coming down the pike. I suspect that Cleveland is going to set their sights on someone both bigger and better right now than Marcus Smart. So, like, you know, DeAndre Hunter, a guy we've talked about, I can see Cleveland trading for him more so than, like, a Marcus Smart trade. But, like, you know, Cleveland's a team to keep an eye on.
And then, as if the West wasn't being sufficiently refortified, we did have the news that Chet Holmgren is healthy. So he is eligible to return Friday, but then they play the Grizzlies Saturday.
Yeah, so I don't know if he'll play a back-to-back right off the injury.
Probably not.
Does not happen, so we'll see if he plays in Memphis.
All right, Chris, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read his stuff there. He's got another trade update this morning. Obviously, if anything breaks, and I would commend to you, in addition, the final piece of Drew Hill's really interesting series on really how Jaren Jackson spent his summer. By the way, if that kind of summer produces this kind of season, we should all spend our summer that way. Anyway, Drew wrote, completed the series. It's fabulous. It's over at the Daily Memphian. All right, we're going to play Righter Than Wright trivia. And the way this works is you got to call in, and then you have to be righter than Jeffrey Wright. No one ever is. But if you play honorably, you are also rewarded with a fabulous prize. Jeffrey, what's the fabulous prize this week?
Jeff, we've got tickets to go see Kansas 38 Special and Jefferson Starship at Bank Plus Amphitheater June the 13th. Win them before you can buy them.
That's the prize. Kevin Cerrito will join us. The trade deadline ends at 2, so we will take caller number 2. Tell the people the number, Jeffrey.
901-445-0929.
445-0929. 445-0929. Right and Right Trivia. When we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Every Thursday, we play Righter Than Right Trivia. In order to do that, we invite Kevin Cerrito to join the show. He's the Meister of Fun and Games here in Memphis, Tennessee. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing much better than I was last week. Thanks for filling in for me, Jeff. It's great to be back. We've got a lot of trivia happening tonight all around town. We've started, as everybody knows who listens to this show, that you will hear one or more questions from the Jeff Calkins Show at a general knowledge trivia night around town. It's an advantage you have for being a loyal listener. Also, this year, we started to announce a theme of one round in advance every week as well on social media. So if you want even more of an advantage, you can make sure you can follow us on Instagram, subscribe to our newsletter, which is on Substack, cerrito.substack.com, or you can find out on the website, cerritoentertainment.com, what the upcoming theme night. We did a Friends round this week. We're doing a Taylor Swift round next week. We've got a Disney round coming up. But we're going to pre-announce at least one round a week so other people can get their friends together that might help them, carry them to a victory. Because if you win, of course, you qualify for the Tournament of Champions and a chance to play for $1,000 cash at that annual extravaganza, courtesy of Jack Purtle's Chicken and Feelin' Memphis.
All right. We have a contestant, Russell in South Haven, joins the show. Welcome, Russell. I'm going to turn things over to Kevin, and may the best man win.
All right. This is a Righter Than Right trivia. Jobs get right, more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you will win. This is a general knowledge era, the general knowledge era of Righter Than Right trivia now officially. Are you ready, Russell? You have any questions? You've played before, right?
Yeah, I've played it. It's been a couple months, but yeah, one day I'm going to win. But
that's what they all say. If you have a steal, you can get from if Jeffrey misses a question, you can steal from him one time and vice versa. Whatever category you don't choose, as you choose your categories, will automatically go to Jeffrey, so you can factor that into your strategy. We have current events or history to start today.
Current events.
Current events. The Trump administration has, by executive order, renamed Mount Denali to what other name?
Mount Rushmore.
That is incorrect. Jeffrey, are you going to steal at the start, or are you going to wait here?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to wait.
This is lost in the Gulf of America.
Mount McKinley. Occasionally I know the answers. Yes. Very rarely, and that's the only time I speak up, is when I know the answer. On the rare occasion that I know the answer, changing it back to Mount McKinley, because woke Denali will not stand.
That is correct. Point for Calkins. Calkins in the lead here.
God's watching. I still think it's Mount McKinley.
Yes. History for you, Jeffrey. The Black it's Black History Month. It is Black History Month. The Black pilots and support personnel of the 332nd Fighter Group of the U.S. Army Air Forces were collectively known by what two-word name?
Red Tails.
That is not what we are looking for here, Jeffrey. I'm sorry. We have a steal out there.
Oh, you gosh.
I'll try, yeah. Was it the Muskegee pilots?
Tuskegee Airmen, right?
Yes.
What's that, Jeffrey? What's happening here, Calkins?
I think he said...
Muskegee pilots.
Russell, did you say it is the Muskegee pilots? And the answer is the Tuskegee Airmen. Yeah, so I think that you said Muskegee, right?
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah, I messed up.
With an M. We're not going to give it to you. We're just not going to give it to you. I'm as generous, as much as I like to see Jeffrey lose, I don't think I could give him that. So I think it's still scoreless. Scoreless.
Yes, Calkins with the strongest start ever in the history of Right on the Right trivia. But yes, Tuskegee Airmen is the correct answer here, your Black History Month question. So we have no score at all. Let's keep moving. One steal is gone. Cartoons or cars?
Cars.
Cars. In 1986, the iconic Grumman Long Life Vehicle was created for what organization, which has purchased over 100,000 that have been used ever since?
I've
been using them ever since. I'm sure they get new ones. What?
The police.
New idea? Police is incorrect. Jeffrey.
Yeah, I'll steal the post office.
You're going to steal. That is the post office. That is correct. That is your postal delivery vehicle, the Grumman Long Life Vehicle. Oh. Jeffrey gets a point, created just for the post office, 1986. Cartoons for you, Jeffrey. Ben Stiller, Chris Rock, and David Schwimmer all provide animal voices for what 2005 DreamWorks film?
Madagascar.
Madagascar is correct. Jeffrey, with the car question and the cartoons question, takes a lead here.
Yeah, 2-0. Very impressive little swing there. All right, back to Russell.
Russell, do you want math or science?
Math.
What single word can be either a complete entity or mathematically can be defined as any whole number, including zero and negative numbers?
Integer.
What single word? Oh, there you go. Quickly. He got it. Yes, that is correct. That is correct.
What was the answer?
Integer.
Integer. Now, when I hear math, like, this is what happens. My brain just shuts down. It just, I start hearing things like this, and my brain just goes, whoomp. All right, it's 2-1. Over to Jeffrey.
Kind of like I do with science.
Science. What stage of an insect's life, Jeffrey, comes after egg and before pupa and goes by names such as caterpillar, grub, and maggot, depending on the species? Comes right. After egg. It's the stage of an insect's life.
Yeah, so larva. Larva, final answer.
Larva's correct.
Larva's correct, 3-1. Score is 3-1. Back to Russell.
Still got a chance here, Russell. Classic TV or modern video games?
Classic TV.
The 6 o'clock news at WJM in Minneapolis and the show's lead actress are the dual hubs of what 70s sitcom?
Mary Tyler Moore Show.
That is correct. Mary Tyler Moore is the correct
answer. He's hanging in there nicely. 3-2. Hanging in there nicely. Over to Jeffrey.
Modern video games, Jeffrey. 14-year-old Russell Horning saw some viral fame after doing what dance move that became even more popular after it was featured in the video game Fortnite?
The floss.
We will count that as flossing is what we're looking for. Yes, the floss. Flossing, that is the correct.
All right, we done with the regulation. Are we down to?
Yes, final round is going to be billionaire divorces.
Billionaire divorces. Russell, how many points would you like to wager?
I'm glad to go with all two.
Go with both of your two. And Jeffrey is also wagering two. Away we go.
All right, so next week is Valentine's Day, so I thought we'd have a special Valentine's themed questions here. With billionaire divorces, do you want question A or B, Russell?
B.
B. What former power couple of billionaires settled a divorce in 2022 with one agreeing to pay the other one $200,000 a month in child support for their 4 children? So they settled the divorce in 2022. Is a power couple of billionaires with one being ordered to pay the other one $200,000 a month of child support for their 4 children.
I don't know. Is it Bill and Melissa Gates?
That is incorrect. I'm sorry.
You know, I wouldn't have. I don't know that many billionaires or divorce billionaires. I wouldn't have guessed them just because I don't know that they have 4 kids or they'd be older or whatever, right? They wouldn't feel like they're in a child support era. So, Jeffrey, do you have a steal?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm nearly certain it's Bezos.
So, it's Bezos was the only the next billionaire I could think of.
No,
who is it?
Was. We have Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Oh my.
And who's paying who?
Kanye paying Kim, I believe. Yes,
Kanye paying Kim. Yeah. It would seem like they would be both okay. Well, they would seem like they would be able to take care of each of their own, honestly, you would think. But there you go.
You would think that, yeah, that was the settlement at the time. And, of course, Kanye does not have, I don't believe he is now still a billionaire since then. Kim Kardashian, of course, continues.
This is unfair. This is unfair. This is how men get.
I don't know what. It might have been adjusted, but that was the 2022 agreement. Right,
Jeffrey,
we
got to
finish. Question?
We got to play through the tape. We got to run through the tape, Jeffrey. Go ahead.
All right. Well, here we go. Jeffrey, who left Jeff Bezos in a divorce that cost him $36 billion in assets?
Mackenzie Bezos.
Can you give me her name that she currently goes with?
Scott, right? Mackenzie Scott.
Yes, that's right. Correct. Yes, Mackenzie Scott. You got it.
That's 6-0 in the end. It wasn't one-sided, but in the end, it became one-sided. Russell, nice work. Jeffrey, do you think he played honorably?
Russell always does.
All right, Russell. Thanks very much. You get the prize. Kevin, right. Where can people figure out where your people are going to be playing trivia and whatnot?
Great question. Go to streeterentertainment.com. We've got music bingo happening at Waldo's in Cordova tonight, plus trivia at four locations, including the Evergreen Grill in Midtown. We're at the Southwind Huey's on Winchester. We're in South Haven at Dan McGinnis, and right off of Broad Avenue at Hampline Brewing Company playing trivia there as well. You'll hear.
Questions. What is Waldo's? What is Waldo's?
Oh, great question. The real question you should have asked is, where is Waldo's? But
I know, but what is Waldo's? You told me where is Waldo's. It was in...
Yeah, I did say where. Yeah. So it's in the old Nukes in Germantown Parkway, for those who missed that. But it's a chicken place. It's a local chain from Nashville that has expanded here to Memphis. And so they've got chicken of all types, but it's a kind of like a little, they got regular fried chicken. I call it fried chicken. I get into this debate with my wife all the time. Like, fried chicken means it has bones if you're saying you're ordering fried chicken. But you can get chicken strips, you can get fried chicken, you can get chicken sandwiches, however you like your chicken, you can get it, but they have a bar in there. So it's not like it's kind of, you know, a mix between what you would think of an Abner's or a Raising Cane's, but it's upgraded a little bit. And food is awesome. We're there every Thursday.
And then my second question, my follow-up is, Evergreen Grill has been redone. It's got a new menu, right? Whatever else. What do you get? Do you eat at the Evergreen Grill? What do you get at the Evergreen Grill?
Well, we have specials. They got specials, appetizer special every week during trivia. So I would recommend those. But anything. So the guy who's the chef there used to be the chef at Longshot, which was down the downtown bar. And I mean, it's awesome. So, I mean, any of their sandwiches, they have like a KFC sandwich. They also have a great chicken sandwich. But they also have the appetizer, anything. You really cannot go wrong when you go there, but you should try it. I know you're on your food tour. Where's your food tour at, Calkins? Where's
you know, it going? I've had a, I went to, I went to Bayou, which I'd only been to once before. But Claire had never been there, and her son lives here now. And so we went to the Bayou, and the wings were good. Like when everything isn't high end, we're doing all kinds of places, at least, you know, once every 2 weeks at the very least, to go out and eat somewhere, you know, preferably downtown, midtown, whatever else, but not exclusively. And so our last one was the Bayou, where we got a oyster po' boy, which was fine, a little too much bread, honestly. But the wings were good. Zydeco wings were recommended to me by Gabe, and they were excellent. And Claire and Conroy said the beer was fabulous, too. So that's where we are. But Evergreen Hill's got to be on the list. So
I know, and Jack Brown's has got to be on the list. I heard you talking to Connor about that the other day. But, yeah, Jack Brown's burger. Burgers are awesome.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right,
Jeffrey prevails again. He's more reliable than the damn Chiefs. And less hated. More reliable and less hated. We're going to take a break. Come back. See what's happening. Is the trade deadline bears up, down upon us? It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Well, Jeffrey, we have an exciting next few hours, except how exciting is it really?
I mean, I guess it just kind of depends of do the Grizzlies do something that we don't expect?
I think at this point, I will be surprised if they do something big. And trading Marcus Smart isn't big, but is even big.
No, right? I'd consider that significant.
Significant. Yeah. And by the way, that would be admitting failure. Like you gave up two firsts for him. If you use him in one of these, just to get off his salary type of deals, that would be admitting failure. It was funny. I was just contemplating everything that has happened on this trade deadline. I was just listening to Ethan Strauss, who came up covering the Warriors.
Yep.
And now he does a podcast or something.
House of Strauss.
His theory. It's not the elaborate ownership theory that you had about whether they want to move the team to whatever. Mm-hmm. His explanation, though, for why this stupid Luka trade happened was that last year when Cuban was still involved, he was really Jerry Jones, right? He didn't tell everybody that he was the GM, but he was the GM. Now he's moved out of the way and Nico Harrison actually is the GM and now he's allowed to do stupid things. How do you buy that? He's just a sneaker rep who's allowed to do stupid things.
Yeah, and I think he clearly had enough of Luka.
All right, we got to get out of here. What's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Alex Simmons, head basketball coach of the Memphis Women's Tigers, will join them at 1:30. Cobb will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Eric will join us during the first hour. Jason Smith during hour number two. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, P.J. Tucker got traded again.
Third time in five days, I think.
To the Heat. Back in the 70s, that's how you, I used to pass a joint around this way, mm-hmm. Jeffrey. Back in the 70s.
Nice.
Anyway, we got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow for an hour. Work is done.